Look, do you love a short story? In this day and age of shorter attention spans, mobile phone use and addiction, and also instant gratification, the short story is in some ways gaining more appeal. However, its crafting is anything but quick, often requires as well a great deal of reflection. Bindi Pritchard is a WA-based author, and her latest work, Fabulous Lives, is a collection of short stories. It's published by a small independent publisher in Margaret River. And I spoke with Bindi in the lead-up to the Perth Literature and Ideas Festival and asked her why writing short stories appealed so much.
I think I love it because you're in and out of a world really quickly, so you have a chance to create this world, enjoy it, savour it, but then you can also leave it behind. So there's not the agony of perhaps a novel writer would have, having to stay there for long and redraft. So for me, it's the process is easier. I also love the fact I can create many worlds. So I get a chance to, in one book, have, 16, 17 different worlds that people can enter. So that's quite delightful.
There's a famous quote, I think it's from Mark Twain, that says, "I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have enough time." So there's an art, isn't there, to writing in a succinct manner. How do you know when to finish?
I think usually when I start a story, I don't know what the ending will be. So that's the mystery of it. And I think quite a few writers do that. They're called pantsers. So they go by the seat of their pants. They don't plot. So when I start a story, I have an idea, like an image, or I might have a character or a setting, somewhere I've been or something I've read about. And then I'll just play with that and then I'll take it from there. And then usually, I think it just writes. You write towards that ending, you just know.
So it evolves.
It just evolves.
And organically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I won't suggest this for every person wanting to write. Everyone's quite different in their approach, but that just seems to work for me.
To me, there seems to be some themes that come through consistently in some of the stories that have been written. Like finality is one. One of the stories you've written about is about a woman who has breast cancer, and we experience a part of her life through a series of flashbacks. Can you tell us how that story came to be?
Yeah, well, that's my favourite story, and that story really kicked off my career, I would say, because that was a runner-up in the Margaret River Press short story competition. And that story came about from two different paths. My mum actually died of lung cancer, not breast cancer, years ago, I think 30 years ago. So I had that experience to draw on, and watching her die, and it actually, in some strange way, it was a beautiful death. It wasn't actually a scary thing at the very end. Obviously, the suffering was terrible, but the actual process of letting out the final breath was actually a beautiful thing, and the whole family were there to witness that. So I had that sense of, what it's like perhaps to die. Also, I had a serious illness myself. So at the time, just before I wrote that story, I had a terrible heart condition. I didn't realise. I'd just been living in the northwest with my husband and two children, and come down for Christmas, and we were staying in the city hotel, and suddenly I just felt really tired and just got progressively worse. And then I collapsed and was subsequently diagnosed with a leaky mitral valve, which had been diagnosed for years. So I had multiple operations to fix that. So I sort of came to a point where I did question death a lot during that time. And at the same time, I also wrote more during that time because I wanted to express myself. So I think that story is like a hybrid of the two events, really. And I love the idea of trying to imagine, a state of that final moment where you do depart, and maybe it's not so bad after all. And I think in this story, it's inevitable she's going to die. I've called it dying. We know the story is going down that path, but at the same time, the ending is surprising because it is actually a different kind of death than what the reader would imagine.
My guest this morning on ABC Radio Perth in WA is Bindi Pritchard, talking about Bindi's book Fabulous Lives, a collection of short stories. There's a very personal element. So you can tell that this comes from the heart, almost, to my eyes anyway, reading your short stories. There's one that takes on a bit of a different tangent, and that is the egg. So this is about what's thought to be a discovery of a dinosaur egg.
That's right. That is a different story. That story came third in the Catherine Susanna Pritchard Award, and I wrote that really quickly, and it was... At first it was just going to be like a supernatural sort of speculative fiction kind of story, but then it ended up being more real. And it really is a story about someone longing for a better life and thinking that money is going to change everything. And so this egg becomes a symbol of, you know, this fantastic way out of his loser life as a customs officer at Perth Airport. And I have to put a disclaimer in. I actually was a customs officer once, so I have nothing against customs officers. They're beautiful people. But, yeah, so that story really was playing around with the idea of obsession and what that can lead to. And I do love having characters that are broken, that are a little bit lost or sick or poor or lonely, and then they can go further in their narrative sort of evolution. So for that character, even though it's a very minor triumph at the end, he does get a little bit of a triumph. I see it as a bit of a triumph. So
it's symbolic.
I do laugh when I read that story.
It's almost like events get ahead of him. It's the lead character in that story. We like Bindi to talk a little bit when we talk to writers about their process. So what is it for you? You mentioned there that you start and you don't necessarily know where you're going to finish, but in terms of the writing process for you, do you sit down daily? How do you go about it?
I don't sit down daily, and I know I should. Everyone says you must write every day. I write when I have something to say, and I think if I don't, then it's forced and it's fake and it's probably not a great story. So just to give an example, when I'd start with, I used to be a poet, so I think that sort of informs my process. But
aren't
I start.
Aren't you always a poet?
Yeah, I think
so. You can't be a former poet.
No, well, I'm a bit of a failed poet. I love poetry, but I just, I've got friends who are poets, and I can see a real difference in how they write and how I write.
Sure,
it's a rhythm they have, So I start with an image usually, not all the time, but in the story Warm Bodies, which is about a guy that, like an engineer that goes to Africa, and he has to leave his family. When I was thinking about that story, at the time my husband was going to West Africa with his work, so I had a little bit of a knowledge of that country. But I also saw a picture online of a chimpanzee, and it was a chimpanzee mother, and it had a decomposing baby on its back. But it was actually more than decomposing. It had gone beyond that. So it was like a wizened, stretched out, spidery skin, and the mother was... carrying it on its back still weeks after it had died. And that image was so moving that I thought, that's what it's like maybe to lose your child. You just don't want to let go of that relic, a bit of bone or whatever. You have to hold on to your child. And what happens if someone just takes it off you? So that was the kernel of the idea. And then I thought, hang on, maybe it's not about me as a mother. Maybe it's about a father. So then I thought about my husband leaving the girls, and they were very young at the time, and he was quite heartbroken. He's a very hands-on dad, and I saw him sort of suffering a bit. So then it became a story about a father leaving his children and going on a mine, and then all the problems that happened with that separation. So I didn't know where that was going until I started to write that, and then it just happened. But obviously some stories are very quick to write, and others are quite hard and painful and might be, paragraph by paragraph with days in between.
Do you, when it comes to short story writing, does it help to read short stories, or do you just generally read across the board?
Yes. When I decided this was my thing, short stories, I became obsessed with reading everything I could find. So I've got so many collections at home, Australian writers, international writers. I subscribe to magazines. I go online and just read free stories. So I'm definitely in that zone. The problem with that, though, is sometimes you begin to write to a formula. And I see it sometimes when I read work, especially in literary magazines, that in some ways, short story writers, because they don't have a broad audience, they have to write to a narrow audience, and that is the short story writers. And I think we kind of try and be clever to impress one another and, just have fun with that, because we know that there isn't a general readership. It's a very small market. So, I think that has affected my writing sometimes, that I'm very aware of my reader before I set pen to paper.
Tell us about Margaret River Press, because this is a small independent publisher that sort of popped up, I don't know, about 5 or so years ago?
I think six years ago, I should know. But yeah, not that long really. It's founded by John and Caroline Wood, and they also run the Centre for Stories. And they're a passionate couple who really care for literature, but more importantly, diverse literature. They want people who are marginalised or emerging or West Australian, you know, local people to have a voice. And so a lot of their writers are local, the majority would be, and they are very supportive. It's a lovely small publisher. There's benefits with that. So you have a really one-on-one relationship with your publisher when you get to phone them at any time and send emails. They've got great staff. They have a great group of interns also work there. So they're not just publishing books, they're training the next generation of publishers and editors, which I think is fabulous. So they put a lot of hours in without a great return sometimes because the books they publish, especially the short story collections, wouldn't have a massive print run. It is a passion, a project of passion and love.
And well-presented books. You can tell they're heavily invested, I think, in the books that they...
Yeah, the design covers are beautiful. Yeah. Yes.
And the way they're edited, I think.
Yes, yes.
The reward, the intrinsic reward for you, what is it in writing?
I think it is communicating ideas. I think it's expressing emotional truth, trying to get some sense of who we are as people, who I am as a person. So a lot of it is self-evaluation and re-evaluation through my characters, through things that may have happened to me. So if I've had any traumatic event, I will, years later, will write about it. So it's a way of dealing with that. But I love having that chance to talk about the stories with readers. I think it's interesting because everyone has a common story, something that they can relate to. I've had a lot of older women relate to these stories. I've got a few stories about teenagers, and my daughter's friends love those stories. So I just love that connection.
The book is called Fabulous Lives. Bindi Pritchard is the author. Bindi, thank you very much. Well done on your book, and
thank
good
you.
Luck for the future.
Thanks so much, Barry.